For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. The Tennessee races for governor and U.S. Senate are slowly beginning to unfold. Democrats are angling toward the center, and Republicans are maintaining a strict loyalty to Team Trump. With us again this week is political analyst Otis Sanford. Welcome back.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing great. Another exciting news cycle this week. People who are watching Tennessee's Senate campaign nationally, they're starting to notice that former Governor Phil Bredesen is not having any part of that big Democratic revolution business. He's keeping it very local. He said that the Democratic Party is not a religion. He's talking about Asian carp in rivers and rural broadband. It sort of reminds me that there are kind of two Democratic parties in Tennessee, the ones who win in urban areas and the ones who win state office. What do you see as the big philosophical differences there?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the urban Democrats tend to be more liberal. They tend to care a lot more about social issues, social justice. Phil Bredesen is always the quintessential pragmatic, middle-of-the-road, moderate Democrat, and it is working quite well for him.
Columnist George Will this week called him as exciting as oatmeal, which is healthier than bacon, he said.
Well, it's right, and it's more filling, too, I have to say. He is convinced, Chris, that he is going to get a sizable number of even Republican votes, but a great number of independent votes in this election.
Right. If Bredesen is campaigning on local issues, his opponent, Marsha Blackburn, judging by her Twitter feed, at least, looks like she's running for president. She's for sanctions against Iran, deregulation, anti-abortion, anti-immigration. Mm-hmm. Which approach do you think has more appeal to Tennessee Republicans right now?
The only way to answer that, Chris, is to look at the history. And the history of statewide elections have always shown that voters mostly go for the people who are closer to the center. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be the case again this time. That's why I have been saying that I think it's imperative that Marsha Blackburn try to find her way closer to the center. She hasn't done it yet, but I think she will turn off a lot of independent voters if she does not do that.
So locally here in Memphis, we've been watching a federal trial unfold between the Memphis Police Department and the ACLU of Tennessee. We learned that police were using fake Facebook profiles to keep tabs on political activists. This whole thing stems from a 1978 legal agreement called a consent decree that says the city shouldn't be investigating non-criminals. Otis, you were there in 1978 as a journalist when this agreement was made. What's the history there?
It actually really started with a veteran who was an activist, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and he asked for his file. I want to see the file that you have on me. Instead of giving him the file, they went out and burned all of the stuff. After it was discovered that they burned the files, the then police director, who was Buddy Chatman, who is still around as the head of Crime Stoppers, he ordered that unit be disbanded because he thought it was out of bounds. And it was, because it was surveilling groups at the University of Memphis. It was surveilling the NAACP. I mean, it was doing all the kind of covert surveillance that you can think back to the 1960s and 70s of doing.
Right, putting undercover officers in groups and taking names and photographs and things like that.
Exactly.
And so the consent decree was that MPD would no longer engage in these kind of surveillance tactics. But on the witness stand this week, Police Director Michael Rawlings said there's kind of a difference between what was happening then and monitoring what people put out on social media today.
Obviously, if you're putting stuff out on social media, it's fair game. Anybody can look at it. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why even a police officer can't look at it. But what apparently was happening here was police officials were creating fake accounts in order to befriend people to figure out what they were doing. They were also going out and looking at who was friends with people who were seen at rallies and at the die-in or at the bridge shutdown back in July of 2016, and compiling a list of those folks. And in addition to that, the information that they were compiling, they shared it with private businesses such as FedEx and AutoZone. I mean, what's the reason for that? If some of those folks work for those organizations, their jobs could be in jeopardy. I just think that the whole issue here just smacks of a big brother mentality that we don't really want to go back to.
Is this going to fall squarely on the shoulders of the mayor, or is this going to fall on the city council? Who is going to have to deal with this? Is it going to stretch into county politics?
I think it falls on the mayor, honestly. The mayor is in charge of the overall police operations. He appoints the police director. I'm not sure that the city council will be tainted by this at all. And I'm not saying that the mayor will suffer as a result of it, but he will have to address it. So this, to me, is a city problem, and I think it's an issue that the mayor, Jim Strickland, is going to have to address.
Political analyst Otis Sanford joins us each week to talk about Tennessee politics. Otis, thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Chris.
This is WKNO News.